What's up, people? This is Adam Hunter. I want to thank you for supporting me on Rockfin. And that's why you're getting this podcast. Listen, today we have Anthony Berchak on. UFC veteran, Ryzen veteran, Combate veteran. Just a good dude. Father of four. Jiu-Jitsu ace. I think he's a black belt. Okay? Great guy. So I'm talking to Berchak. I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Marijuana is legal in California. It's legal. So, you can get it delivered right to you. So go to speedweed.com, at speedweed. Don't chance it. Don't go to a dispensary and wait online for 6 hours and bump into people you know and then get embarrassed and then get high and then get a DUI and gas or, I don't know, you get into a car accident and your insurance goes up and just bad things could happen, all right? Get it delivered right to you. You get pizza delivered, Chinese food delivered, all right? Uber delivered, I guess Uber doesn't deliver to you, but you get what I'm saying, okay? Speedweed.com, at Speedweed, mention Roasted, MMA Roasted, you get $10 off, okay? Also, Nature's Oils Online. Trap, sons, and trap, sons, and trap, sons, and trap, Түүний сонс тө хөг чим дур булаа. Даваж дуудан дур булаа мууруулаа.
Anthony Berchak.
What's going on?
What's up, man? How are you? It's Adam Hunter. I'm here with Violet, my baby daughter, 8 months old. And we're talking to you. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How's the baby doing?
She's doing good. How in the world? It is so hard to take care of a baby. How do you have five of them?
Dude, I'm telling you, man, that shit was the fucking hardest thing I've ever done.
Like, how many kids do you have, really?
I got four. Well, me and Mercedes had two, and then I had one before her, and then we had one together. So we got four total: two boys, two girls.
Wow, 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 wow. Yeah, I mean, how did you manage to do it? Because as a fighter, like even as a comic, it's like cuts into my time. Like I had to take her to say Wiggle and Work, where like it's a place literally where it's like an office that has a gymnasium. And you pay like, I don't know, 10, 15 bucks an hour. And then you go and like work while someone takes care of your kid. But they don't even have that.
Yeah, it's wild, right? It's like you're trying to figure out all these timings and these time slots. And like, okay, I got to be here at 3 and I got to be, you know, talking to so-and-so at 4. And it's a fucking crazy juggle of life.
Oh, my God. I mean, one of the good things is that anytime I'm late for anything or I don't do anything or I don't get back, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I got a baby. It's like my perfect way to get out of everything. Is this?
Yeah, and then everyone's like, oh God, I'm sorry. Yeah, and they're like, oh, okay, it's okay, don't worry, just jump in.
Yeah, anytime anybody was like, hey, could you make this video for me? I got a baby. I have my baby. I just even like things that have nothing to do with the baby. They're like, you know, I actually got out of a parking ticket last week. The guy, not parking ticket, I made like a illegal U-turn in like four lanes, like was on my phone, like just look, would have been like 19 points in my license. I'm like, I got a newborn baby. The guy's like, oh, it's okay. He's like, have a good day. Good luck with that. I was like, how did I get out of that?
Shit. Yeah. Think about all the things that these babies like are just subconsciously recording. And then one day they're going to be like, hey, fucker, remember all those times that I got you out of parking tickets and, you know, in trouble with your boss and shit?
Totally. Totally, totally. It's crazy. So, by the way, you're coming off a huge win in Combate. You knocked a dude out in 1 minute. You look great, by the way.
Yeah, man, thank you. That was actually a long layoff that I had since Ryzen, you know, and for a while there, I kind of felt like, you know, the icky kid. No one really wanted to touch me. No one really wanted to sign me. I was having trouble finding a lot of fights. You know, I mean, even now after that knockout, I'm having trouble finding fights, you know. And that was a good matchup, man. The kid was 6-1. He had just beat an Olympic gold medalist from Cuba who was the LFA champion for a little bit. And then he got injured. So, you know, the kid had some steam and some clout behind him, choking out an Olympian. I thought, you know, it was a big thing. So they said that they were coming to Tucson, and we made the deal happen. And I think I set a record for the fastest knockout in tournament history for the organization. And I think I did the third fastest knockout in the organization history as a whole.
No, it was awesome. I was so happy. I was in Tucson. I was like, I was nervous for you because sometimes I'm sure you had everybody hitting you up for tickets and everybody was like hitting you up for this and that and press and radio shows and TV shows, right? And was it hard to focus?
You know, I think the thing that scared me the most was the fact that I pieced together a camp with just some friends. You know what I mean? Like, just a couple of training partners and teammates were the guys that were coaching me. You know, it wasn't enough money where I would, you know, be able to call like my main coach, Coach Casey and Ray Seffo, and be like, hey guys, okay, we're going to do this together. You know what I mean? It wasn't enough to validate bringing them out. So, I just kind of did some stuff with a couple training partners here. I was running, you know, 6 miles a day, damn near every single day. I got in great shape. I felt solid and you know, the results paid off.
Now your fights in Ryzen were all like, you lost two split decisions, which could have went your way. The Kawajiri fight, you look at how good Kawajiri is looking now. I mean, and almost like you look like, and that fight was awesome. You threw him on his head in like the beginning of that fight. That was a really, really good fight. And like Kawajiri just beat the Bellator champion, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, dude. I mean, it was kind of a weird situation because I think on paper it looked bad. You know what I mean? I thought, okay, this was my mentality coming home. Like, okay, I'll be able to find fights easy because people will go, oh, he's on a 3-fight losing streak. He's getting old. He's washed up. That's what my mentality was. You know what I mean? And in reality, I think people saw those fights and they were like, holy shit, either one of those split decisions was mine. And I think both of them were. And then, you know, the Kawajiri fight was to just get my foot in the door with Ryzen. And even that fight, if I go back and fight him again, it's completely different. I was just so kind of enamored by the thought of Tetsuya Kawajiri, you know what I mean? The icon that he was, that I just didn't really focus on him just being a man, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, now he's looking better than ever, and this is the best he's looked. People are saying that if he fought Demetrius Johnson now, do they test over in Ryzen, honestly?
They did. I mean, they said that they were using WADA, which is the World Anti-Doping Agency, you know, but they were giving therapeutic use exemptions for marijuana and stuff like that. So, you know, I'm not sure if they were giving therapeutic use exemptions for, you know, any performance enhancing drugs, you know, but, I mean, there's some monsters. Look at Krokop, dude. Krokop looked better than he's ever looked. You know, he was in great shape and, he fucked those two dudes up.
A lot of those guys, the guy that knocked out Eddie Alvarez looked like he was a monster. You know, a lot of those guys over there, I don't think anybody's ever failed a drug test over there. Like anybody.
Yeah, I mean, you don't hear about it. You know what I mean? You won't hear about it at all unless there's you were just such an asshole while you were over there and you just disrespected the culture, disrespected the athletic commission. If you were just a piece of shit, then I'm sure they're going to be like, oh, guess what? You're the only one that failed a drug test here.
Right. Right. So you can't now with Combate, you didn't fight like a 3-fight contract. There wasn't anything where it was a one and done.
Yeah, no. So they're coming to Tucson 3 times this year. They already came March 29th. And I already had a pre-signed agreement to defend my jiu-jitsu championship on March 30th. So I couldn't have done both. But they're coming again June 7th, and I just signed with a new management agency and a new manager, and he's taken over for sure. And I'm hoping that we'll be able to get a good matchup for June 7th, and I'll be able to fight back here in Tucson again. But Legacy is coming to, you know, LSA is coming to Phoenix again this year. I've heard Bellator's coming to Phoenix this year, so there's a bunch of big shows coming to Arizona. And I'm just hoping that, you know, I think me and Mercedes did such a great job of getting me where I needed to go. But now really kind of reviving the career, I'm going to, you know, hand it over to somebody else and really let them, you know, do their job as a manager and stuff like that. And kind of, because I just, even when I was managing myself, I could just see that some of these promoters saw how eager I was to fight, and they're just kind of taking advantage of me. You know what I mean?
Oh, 100%. It's also hard to deal with your wife because it's your wife, and then it never ends. I know that work with my dad as my manager was like, I had to stop doing it because there was no time off. You know, it's not like you could go, okay, business, and now it's always business. So I can only imagine your wife, it's got to feel that way.
Yeah,
you know?
So check this shit out. One day, me and Mercedes are showering together, and we have this big-ass shower. I would sit at one end of the tile, and she would sit at the other end, and we would sit to feet and let the hot water hit us, right? And she's asking me, she's like, hey, what did you think about your corner banner? And I was like, yeah, for sure. And she's like, no, what'd you think about it? And she's shaving her legs, right? And I'm like, it's good. I'm not going to make a fuss about it. She's like, no, tell me your honest opinion. And I was like, okay, it fucking sucks. I fucking hate it. She grabbed the razor and chucks it at my fucking head, dude.
Really?
And she just stormed. Yeah, fuck yeah. And then she storms out of the shower all pissed off. And I was like, look, I said, I didn't want to make a big fucking deal about it, but you're over here throwing razors at my face.
Wait, what did you think about your corner?
It was my corner banner. Yeah, like the sponsor banner.
Oh, your banner. So your wife's a very beautiful lady. She's got like triple D boobs. She's shaving her vagina and then talking about your corner banner in the shower. There's a lot of problems there, right? Isn't there a lot of issues?
Because that's
the
thing, right? It's like there's no time when the business stops. It just keeps going. And for one, I wouldn't want to fucking talk about it. I was just happy sitting in the shower, you know, watching her shave her legs and shit.
Yeah.
And then, you know, she brought the shit up and I was like, oh man, I know this one's gonna be a fucking slippery slope. And sure enough, bro, I fucking said I hated it and I hated my walkout gear. And the next thing I know, there's a fucking Gillette razor flying at my face.
With my dad one time, I was like, Dad, I don't think we should work together. It's not working out. And he's like, well, who walks your dog when you're not around? I'm like, all right, you know, it's like now we're fighting over like the dog. Like, this is like, come on, man. Like, what's going on here, you know?
Yeah, so, she just wore too many hats with me. And we were losing ourselves as lovers, you know what I mean? It was no longer a relationship. It was a fucking business partnership.
Yeah.
And since then, we've cut a lot of unnecessary ties that we didn't really need to be doing with each other, you know, like the management thing and a couple of other business partnerships at the gym and stuff like that. And now I think, you know, we've focused really more on getting back to just loving each other and being, you know, a husband and wife and not being, you know, a fucking a business moguls together. It just wasn't working.
No, dude, I was the other day, the same thing. I was at the mommy and me class with my daughter because I have my kid during the day. My wife works, so I have the kid from 7 to 7. And then she comes home and has the baby, you know, when I'm doing comedy at night, which is actually not even fair because I have to work during the day, whatever. But I call my dad and I'm like, hey, come to the mommy and me class. So it's me and my dad and the baby. And she's playing the drums, and it was just like the best, you know, because this is like, it was his granddaughter or watching the baby and having fun. I'm like, this is what I want to be doing, not talking about like, you know, hey, how many Instagram hits did you get on that video, and are we going to get a sponsor for this, and are we going to get that, and how come I didn't get an audition for that, and put this on tape for this comedy club. It's just like, it just never ends, and how come these guys didn't pay me my commission, did you email these people, and, you know, it's just a constant, you know,
it's a constant headache.
Yeah, it's just fucking too much, right? It's just too much noise, and then, you know, like, But I mean, I guess did you listen to the Kevin Hart Joe Rogan podcast recently?
No.
So they talk about how like being uncommon men, right? And then being the one percenters of the one percenters, and being uncommon men of uncommon men, and just constantly trying to start projects, and you're always putting more on your plate because we're just that kind of people, right? And it's like, me and Mercedes went for a hike with the kids and we were away from the phones and, you know, we weren't talking about business, but it was just like, there's things that you get inspired by. And all of a sudden you're like, hey, you know, we should do this for the gym, or we should, you know, going into this next fight. And it's like, shut the fuck up. Let's just enjoy this hike. Let's look at these fucking birds that people are, you know, pushing binoculars towards, and you know, it's just, it's hard to get away from it because you're always thinking away. You're always thinking away. How can we expand the empire? How can we build the brand bigger, better? You know what I mean?
No, it's the thing.
And it really is hard to kind of just enjoy the fact that, you know, that's my wife, I'm her husband, these are my little kids, you know what I mean?
Of course, because then when you finally get it, right, when you finally knock out Joe Soto in a minute like you did, or I finally get on The Tonight Show, whatever, it's like, then you're like, you're scared you're going to lose it. So it's like, you want to then go, you want to keep that, you know? So a lot of times you don't even get to enjoy the actual art in itself because you're worried that it's gonna go away. But it's funny, like with comedy and with fighting is so similar, because it's funny, like, you know, like Joe Rogan and Kevin Hart, they are 1% of the 1%, you know? But like me as a comic, like I'm probably in the 5th percentile of comedians. You know, there's like thousands and thousands and thousands of comedians, and you know, not saying I'm doing better, but if you look at like my tax return and where I'm working and how I'm doing and how often I'm working and money coming in, I'm probably in the 5%, right? But
yeah,
but that's
for sure.
But that's not enough, because if you really want to like be elite and make the kind of money you really want to make and have the success you really want to have, you have to be the 5%, like you have to be like the 10% of the 1%. You know, and any other occupation, whether if I was like a lawyer or let's say even if I was a teacher or I was a doctor, if I was in the 5% of all doctors or teachers, I'd be a multi-millionaire. But
yeah, exactly.
But in comedy,
and you're right, man. It is hard to get it right. It's like, because you get that little bit of limelight and you're like, okay, how can I innovate? How can I change myself? How can I stay fresh? How can I continue to, you know, bounce in and out of that fucking, in and out of that light, you know? Because, and that's, so even though she fired me as one of her athletes,
your wife,
you know, anytime. Yeah. So Mercedes fired me, and I use big ass air quotes when I say that.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, look, I'm like, you obviously don't want to, you know, help me out or represent me anymore. And it's fine, because it made our relationship better, but now don't critique every fucking deal that I'm doing on my own. You know what I mean?
Of course.
She's like, oh, you should have never agreed to that. You shouldn't have. Well, why don't you fucking do it then? She's like, I don't want to. She's like, I'm going to watch you sit back and I'm going to watch you fail a bunch. And then when you start crying, and then I'll come and do it. And
oh,
I'm like,
man.
Great.
Oh.
But we just started, she started a sub-only jiu-jitsu organization. It's called the Bullpen Submission Series. And, That's our newest business venture, and we've been doing that together. You know what I mean? And it's been incredible. I never ever thought that she would be able to conceptualize something, do a business plan about it, and then execute it. And she's rocked the jiu-jitsu scene in Arizona. We're literally the only homegrown true sub-only EBI formatted jiu-jitsu tournament in Arizona, and she just got a huge, huge opportunity. So you know how like at the UFC Fan Expo, they used to have like Grappler's Quest or Naga,
yeah.
And they would do like a jiu-jitsu tournament during the expo?
Yep.
So Mercedes just landed the Culture Fit Fitness and Fashion Expo in Phoenix, and they wanted an Arizona company. You know, they don't want to deal with Naga or a big company like that. They wanted to give someone a shot. So Mercedes actually won the bid for the tournament, and we're going to be doing our first ever Bullpen Worlds tournament, which is all 5 ranks. It's going to be sub-only EBI format, cash prizes. We're going to be doing like, I'm working on some really, really cool concepts about, you know, top-level black belts versus some UFC guys versus Bellator guys. You know, I'm working on a couple of big, big things. And right now, again, we're talking this business talk, and I'm like, hey, look, I don't know how you did it, but I hear no from so many sponsors. It's like really fucking, like, it hurts my feelings. And she's
right.
Like, dude, she's like, that's managing me, because you kept harping on me about these companies and what did they say? And she's like, I never had the heart to tell you no, or you're not the kind of athlete they're looking for, or something like that. So for me to see all the shit that she went through, and like, you know, having, and all the grief gave her, like, oh man, my hat's off to her, because she put up with a lot of shit for sure.
Well, she was a dancer, right?
Yeah, and that's another thing. She was like, you don't know how many times I've heard no in my fucking life. Like, it's not a big deal. You just
She was a pretty well-known feature.
I was like, damn, that was like some real perspective. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so she's like, she's got the street smarts. You know, she's got the street smarts. She knows how to work people. She's a pretty girl. She's got big boobs. She's smart. You know, she hasn't been hit in the head 10,000 times. You have. So, I mean, what do you expect? I mean, she knows her shit. Now, I always see that you compete in these, like, submission grappling tournaments, but I never know how you do because I just. But are you winning these things? Are you doing well in these things? What's going on?
Yeah. So last year, 2018, I went 24-2, right? And the two guys that I lost to, I only lost to one guy at my weight class, and that was Frank Rosenthal from Henzo Gracie Academy, New York. He's part of the Danaher Death Squad. I lost in the finals of the Onnit Invitational. And then the next guy I lost to was out of 10th Planet San Diego. He's a 200-pound monster. He just got his black belt. His name's Kyle Chambers. And I went up against him, and I lost to him in the absolute finals of our bullpen tournament. And so last year, like I said, I went 24-2. I won the Arizona State Championship in jiu-jitsu at brown belt. I won the bullpen submission series twice, and then I won a couple other local tournaments. But the super fights that I've been doing have all been at 170 pounds. Oh, and wow. I've the last three guys that I've gone up against have all been black belts. And I just successfully defended my 170-pound title March 30th, and I won by a leg lock. So I've been winning, man. It's actually been the way that I've been passing my time in between fights, kind of, you know, if I just sit around, I'll get fat.
Right.
And I'll be fucking lazy. And so pro jiu-jitsu has been what I've been doing, and just, you know, waiting in the wings till I can line up a fight. And, you know, I've actually just gotten really, really a lot of time to focus back on wrestling, traditional wrestling, shooting my shots and takedowns and snap down setups, front headlocks, you know, spin scoring to the back, defending shots. And I really, really was super excited to get back to wrestling. And last year, 2018, it's about this time again, I won the USA Wrestling Men's Nationals at 70 kilos, which is two weight classes above what I normally compete at. So all year last year, I was just active grappling, and I'm barely going to have my first, I have my first match March 30th, but I'll have my first tournament this weekend in Austin, Texas at the Onnit World Open, which is at the Paleo Effects Expo in Austin, Texas at the Palmer Event Center. So I'm super stoked about that.
Nice. And now what do you get if you win that?
So if you win that, you'll get another, you solidify your spot for the next Onnit Invitational at that weight class.
But I mean, is there any money involved if you win that?
Huh?
I mean, you don't win any kind of money?
I don't know if you win money for this one. I know at Onnit, they pay you $500 per submission. So you have a opportunity to win like $3,000 total.
Nice, nice. Now, have you thought about doing like Abu Dhabi or something like that?
Yeah, so this year I was actually supposed to do the ADCC North American qualifiers because their rule set's like perfect for a wrestler jiu-jitsu guy, right? Like someone that knows how to wrestle like me, and the way they make their rule set that you can't pull guard within the first 3 minutes, but it's sub only, and then after the first 3 minutes, it's points. And my passing game's pretty decent, and so I was like, you know what, my game is, I'm going to go in and just wrestle my ass off, and then I'm just going to work my passing game. And someone that had a very similar style like me ended up making it all the way to the finals. So I thought I would have done really good, but I ended up getting injured literally the week of the week before the tournament, and I had to pull out. So that was the next time they do the ADCC, it's going to be 2 years from now. They do it. It's kind of like the Olympics of grappling. They do it every 2 years.
And what about like EBI or Chael Sonnen, that submission thing that he does?
Yeah, well, someone threw me and Mercedes' name in the hat with Paige VanZant and Austin. And I was like, I'll take that match. And then I ended up seeing Austin at M1 Global on April 4th. And I was like, this dude's like 205 pounds. He's fucking huge.
Yeah, he's a big dude.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not going up against that monster.
Well, I mean, what about, and not tag team, but what about just you going in and against us? Because I know Jake Ellenberger is taking on Diego Sanchez, the next submission one. A couple other UFC guys are doing it. And I always see guys in doing the EBIs. Have you thought about doing one of those?
Yeah, I mean, I talk to Eddie all the time about getting into EBI. Actually, the next thing that they did, they just held the qualifiers at downtown HQ right there on Grand Avenue for the 135 combat jiu-jitsu spot. So I was actually going out to that, and I signed, I got notice about this fight June 7th. And I mean, all my MMA stuff takes precedence over jiu-jitsu, you know, but combat jiu-jitsu is something that I definitely want to do. And the kid who actually won the qualifiers is somebody that I've beat two or three times now. I was like, I knew I would have just, you know, I knew I would have definitely had a really good showing at that qualifier, because all of those guys are like little 125ers that don't have to cut weight. So they just go straight up to 135. And I've been walking around at like 160, 165 lately, and I would have had to cut all the way down and then make 135 and then literally compete 30 minutes later. I don't think it would have been good for me.
No, not at all. So what's June 7th?
What's up?
What's on June 7th? You said you have a fight June 7th?
June 7th, Combates Americas is coming to Tucson, and they've given me two names, and right now we're just working on solidifying the contract and stuff, because last time they came to Tucson, I sold over 150 tickets, and we packed this giant amphitheater that we have at a casino here. And I mean, the whole crowd was literally just Burchak t-shirts. It was insane.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, are you thinking about that? I can see you doing bare knuckle.
That was the first time I fought at home in Tucson in 8 years. So since I've made my pro debut, I've never come back. So that was the first time in 8 years that I actually got to fight at the venue that I made my pro debut at.
That's pretty awesome. Now, have you thought about bare knuckle boxing?
Yeah, man. Someone said that they sent me a contract, and it was like right before that Jason Knight Artem Lobov fight.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this shit's tight. I can't really do this. And then after Mercedes saw the pictures of those two, she was like, you're not fucking doing this shit at all.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. You don't need to do that right now. You know,
I think it's super cool, man. You know, those guys throw bombs like they have gloves on. And I think after they realize, like, oh shit, like, these, you know, me hitting somebody in the face hurts me. Like, they throw a lot less punches, or they start throwing a lot smarter, crisper punches. Cause you don't need to throw everything into a punch like you do when you have a glove on. You can literally just, you know, pepper people and still cut them with your knuckles above the eyebrow or over the cheek, you know?
So why don't me, you, and Mercedes start bare knuckle MMA?
Dude, that'd be crazy, right? Like, just take it back to UFC 1, where they gave you the option. You can either wear gloves or not wear
gloves.
Let's
do it. We'll follow the bare knuckle boxing thing. Wherever they go, we'll have bare knuckle MMA. And
Jesus, that'd be so wild.
Let's do it. I'm in. So, all right. Listen, and also, I think the PFL, would be great for you. They're giving away $1 million.
I talked to Coach Steffo a bunch about it. You know, I've seen kind of the 145 layout on how they've done everything. I mean, Lance Palmer is an amazing wrestler, amazing. And, Andre the Bull, who's out of, he's out of there over in New York. I think that whole tournament is such a cool ass format. And the fact that, you know, you can fight the way you want to fight in the preseason, but all you got to do is start fighting very, very smart once you get into the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think you would do really well in that format.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. I think I would definitely have to bulk up a little bit. I would want to get a little bit bigger. There's Steven Seiler's huge. What's his name? They call him Capitão. He fights out of Syndicate, the Brazilian kid.
Oh, right.
you know, those dudes are huge 145ers, huge 145ers. And, you know, if those guys aren't winning $1 million and little guys like Lance are, I'm like, okay, even though they're big, like it just shows that technique makes them weak. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you, I think you should talk to Ray, even about even this season being an alternate, because they need, you know,
for sure.
Because a lot of alternates, like last season, I think somebody was an alternate and they like won the whole thing and like $1 million. That's like Christmas gifts for you and your family. So.
Yeah, man, it's definitely life-changing money. Definitely life-changing money.
That's like three bras like for Mercedes.
Like I said, this new manager that I'm working with, he's a super pro. He's got some huge names in the UFC. His counterpart in the company is Tiki Gozin. So I'm just, you know, letting them work right now and kind of figure out what direction they want to go with me. My goal is to get back to the UFC, man. I really believe that I just kind of fucked up my opportunity when I was in there. I let the lights scare me a little bit too much. And I think now, even though I was just having this conversation with one of my coaches the other day, even though I'm 3-5 in my last 8, I feel this is the best I've ever been in my life. I feel I'm the most dangerous that I've ever been as an athlete. And I think now that I have the confidence and the right mindset going back to the UFC with a little bit more maturity will definitely pay off.
Absolutely. Well, where can people find you, Anthony Berchek?
So I've been doing a bunch of technique videos. You guys can follow me on Instagram @AberchekMMA. Same thing on Twitter @AberchekMMA. And then my Facebook is just Anthony Berchek. I'm super interactive with all my fans, man. I try to talk to everybody. I love engaging with trolls. That's like my new favorite fucking thing is just being a troll to the troll. I love it.
I love it. Well, thanks for taking the time, man. Always a fan. And I'll see you soon, brother.
For sure, man. Kiss that baby for me and tell the wife that I said hi. And I'm sure I'm going to run into you in Vegas here soon. Are you going to be out there for International Fight Week?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll be out there. I'll see you then, bro.
Take care. Okay, traps on some traps on some traps. Traps on some trap, don't some trap, don't some trap. Түүний сонс тө хөг чим дөрболаа. Даа дөрстөө тан дөрболаа мөрөө.